Okay, open your Bibles up to James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. We talked about faith last Wednesday, and that was what was building all these talks on all these covenants. That's a basis for faith. Remember, Abraham, he got a springboard for his faith in what God said when God cut a covenant with him. And now we can learn from him. How we can operate in faith too. You know, he became fully persuaded in what God said would happen. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Right off the bat, in James, it tells us to be doers of the word. The thing about faith is laying hold of the unrealities of hope and bringing them into the realm of reality by acting on the word. That's the biggest lesson I learned. You know, I was having a really bad time with my back because my leg was all messed up and had to have a shim on it. And I kept studying. I knew I was missing it. I couldn't figure out what I was doing wrong. And I got a hold of Kenneth Hagin's notes he has in the Bible, and I was looking through those, and I kept looking and looking and looking and looking and looking, and finally I caught it. Every time somebody acted on what they believed, they got what they needed. You know, the blind man with the coat, he threw his coat away and he got his eyesight back. The woman with the issue of blood, she put herself in absolute peril going down there to touch the hem of his garment. Evidently, she had heard about somebody touching the hem of his garment somewhere. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And she evidently meditated on that long enough till she believed it. And then she acted out on what she believed. And she ran down there and she got healed. Well, I had always been walking into church with that boot on. And I never did get my healing, and I couldn't figure it out. So finally one day I got it. I bought a new pair of boots, put those on, went in there, said, "You guys agree with me, I'm healed. Don't pray for me, just agree with me." And boom, I was fine. But I had to throw my crutch away. You know, the blind man, he had to. And I finally studied and I found out that coat was not just some coat. In that day and time, he had to have a special coat that would signify you as being a beggar. And so what he literally did, he threw his meal ticket away. You know, he threw all of his security away. You know, too many times people want to get healed before they move. They don't understand that they're going to have to move before they get healed. You have to act on what you believe. You know, It's just something that a man's going to have to work out in his own heart. And preacher can tell you this every day till the cows come home. But until you actually get in that spot where you actually have to take that step of faith, you're not going to know. You're going to have to step out to receive it. It may take a little bit, but you will get it. But faith is now. If it isn't now, it isn't faith. The principles of faith are the same in any area. Receiving the Holy Spirit, healing, finances, anything that we do. We do not receive it by hoping. You know, I've talked to a lot of people, and I talked to them and asked them if they're getting better and if they're getting their healing, and they say, I hope so. I've even ran into people that said, are you going to heaven? I said, I hope so. Hope is, see, if you get hope in the wrong spot, you're in a lot of trouble and you don't even know it. Hope is a very important thing. See, a man without hope is in a bad spot. You know, some people think they've lost all hope and they commit suicide. But as long as you have a breath in your body, you have hope. You have hope for a better future. But we have to make sure that we don't get hope in the place of faith. See, we do have, hope is an important thing. You know, the Bible tells about Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. See, there is a day we're going to see Jesus face to face, and we're going to be in glory. But that's not faith. Faith is what we do to receive the things right here on this earth, right now. We need that. We need to receive stuff from heaven, and we need to do it now. Always remember, Jesus never fails, and God never fails. If it doesn't work, we got something mixed up in the Word. You know, we didn't get lined up properly. There was always a teaching for a long time, and it drives me nuts now. I'll never preach it. But they used to say, there's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with the Word. So there must be something wrong with you. That's a horrible thing to say to people. That's horrible. No, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. God did a perfect work in you. Now, sometimes we get mixed up. And maybe we put the wrong key in the wrong place. Maybe we may need to meditate on His promise a little bit. Study His promise a little bit. You know, sometimes we all have to fight doubt and unbelief. I mean, there's always an occasion for us to fight that. But we keep them in the arena of faith and we win. I don't know if you've ever noticed that you may have something set in your heart, and that thing up there between your ears is just going all kinds of crazy. You know, you may know in your heart things are going to be okay, but your mind is just racing 500 miles an hour. See, the devil tries to get in there and again mix some seeds of doubt and unbelief in there. You know, and then sometimes people get taught wrong. So when they encounter the truth, they'll be filled full of doubt. But doubt can always be conquered by a proper teaching. See, this is one of the things that I tell people all the time. You know, I ask them, you know, they may be having challenges, and I'll ask them, well, where are you going to church? And they'll tell me, and I said, well, you're not going to be getting fed the word of faith there. I say, well, that's where all my friends go. Are your friends going to go to the hospital with you? They may come and visit you. They may bring you some flowers. But are they going to be there with you all the time? Are they going to go through the surgery with you? You know, you got to pay attention to what you're hearing. That's why Jesus said, take heed to what you hear. Really pay attention to what you're hearing. Now, the thing about God, he does not change. Our prayers do not change God. Faith changes things, but it does not change God. You know, I don't care how hard you believe. I don't care how hard you're praying. I don't care how much you give. You're not going to change God. You're not. But what those things will do is they will change you. They will change you from the inside out. They will cause you to open up to receive by faith. They'll cause you to be able to get faith out there so you can receive what you need. You know, in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, it talked about believing and receiving. Whatsoever you believe, you will receive. Now, people sometimes get this mixed up. They think they're going to believe it when they receive it. You know, there's crazy little wives' tales floating around and say, I'll believe it when I see it. That one needs to be completely scratched out of your vocabulary. You'll receive it when you believe it. See, there's a lot of people that walk away from prayer lines and they don't receive what they need because they didn't feel something. I've actually had people say, no, I feel the same. Well, you're going to feel the same next week. Because they didn't feel it. They didn't believe it. You know, you may pray the word of faith. You may pray the word of faith over your health. You may feel like a complete rat. But you've got to believe that you received His healing and operate in it, walk out in it. You know, a sick man will get up and go to work. A healed man will get up and go to work. A sick man will lay in bed. Now, it may take a little bit for your body to catch up to the reality that you're healed. But get up and go do something. Go get some sunshine, some fresh air. You know, we've been told a lot of things that aren't true. One of the popular ones is, oh, you look sick, you need to go home and go to bed. You know, you can lay in bed for a long time and be sick for a long time. Why not just pray, believe you received that healing, take communion, and go do something for a little bit. You don't have to do it for a long time. You can go do something for a little bit, and then you can go pass out. But do something. Fight a little bit. Believing is an action word. Believing and acting will cause the results to materialize. See, faith is something that happens. Faith always says, it's mine, I have it now. And faith is going to be something that happens because you believed on Jesus. See, when you focus on what He did, what He's doing in you now, and you focus on that and understand that it's by His grace, that'll change your heart. Faith will happen in your heart, and then you'll act on it because you believe it. But without feeding on that word, you're not going to know what to act on. See, without looking at the promises of God and seeing what He has for you, when the big storm comes to town, you're not going to know which way to go. Now, you can build that house in a storm, but it's a whole lot easier to build it now when the wind's blowing. When the wind's not blowing. But faith never relents, and it doesn't look back. See, at some point, you're going to get faced with the reality that you got to draw a line in the sand, and you got to step over that line and keep going forward, and you're not going to look back. I've seen a lot of people in this situation that ran back home. God told them to go to a specific place and do a certain thing. So they did the right thing. They picked up. They moved over there. And the storm hit. And they decided, this can't be God. So they came back to where they started. No, it was God. But because they were stepping out in faith, the devil threw his storm at them, and things didn't line up the way they thought they should line up. So they turned around and went back home. Did you know we don't have any idea how things are going to line up? We may have some ideas, but we don't know how things are going to happen. We just know we're supposed to go there and we're supposed to stay there. Now, we have this habit of drawing pictures of the way we think God needs to do things. And God has a different way of drawing pictures for us. And sometimes we may think we missed Him because every step we take is in a storm. God didn't say anything about not taking you through a storm. I don't know how long the storm will last, but the disciples were out there in that boat in the middle of the night, and it tells us that Jesus walked out there in the third watch of the night and stilled the storm. Well, no, He didn't still that storm. When He was on the boat, He stilled the storm. But the other one, Peter jumped out of the boat. There was a storm going on when Peter jumped out of the boat. That's pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy. He jumped out of the boat in a storm and He walked on water. But they made it to the other side. So Jesus can stop the storm like he did when he was on the boat. Or he can get you through the storm. But I didn't see any illustrations of him guiding them around the storm. You know, they didn't miss out on any of the storms. But he still intended them to be on the other side, didn't he? See, when we step out in faith, we should expect storms. Sometimes I wonder, you know, if God gives me an assignment to step out in faith and I don't feel any friction, I don't feel any storms, you know, there's nothing getting in my way, I kind of wonder, is this really God? This is pretty easy. You know, the devil, he's not going to just sit there in his easy chair and say, oh, look at that, Peter's got a faith assignment. I think I'll just stay out of his way today. No, he's going to send somebody there to get in your way. He's going to send somebody there to try to stop you from doing what God told you to do. You should make this confession. I am not moved by what I see. I am moved only by what I believe. Things may look terrible. You know, but it says we do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. It may look terrible. It may look like a wreck. But you know, that might be the reason that God sent you there. I've heard an interesting statement. This guy said, you know, there's really no darkness. There's just absence of light. He may be sending you into a dark situation so that he can get some light into that situation. You know, but people have a habit of wanting to go to comfortable places. You know, they want to deal with comfortable people. You know, they want to deal with safe circumstances. Well, it doesn't take much faith to deal with comfortable people, does it? If you're dealing with people, it's healed. But people like to have these conversations with other people and talk about how sick they are. I've even run into people that like to talk about how broke they are. They like to talk about their cancer. How, you know, they own it. You know, it's just, they need to stop that. They need to start getting their confession lined up with the Word of God and fight a little bit. Unbelief is siding against God's Word. See, this is one of the things that we have to get squared up in our heart. And I know it's hard, but well, people will come in, get prayed for. They need to figure out just exactly what it is they're praying for. Are they praying that the doctor is going to make good decisions? And that the medicine's going to not make them sick? See, you can pray that way. Or are they praying for a miracle? Because if they're praying for a miracle and go run to the doctor, they blew it right out of the sand. But if they're praying that the doctor will help them get through a situation, that's another thing. But you have to be careful to not believe everything the doctor says. Doctors are full of bad reports. And they just drive me nuts. I've seen people make good progress on things, then they go talk to the doctor, and the doctor tells them, oh, that's just... And then they fall backwards. Now, Satan will challenge real faith. And this is what he'll do. He'll say, look. You know, people will get in a position, you know, they'll get into an atmosphere of faith. They'll pray. They'll say good prayers. People will say good prayers over them. They'll be fine, but you know, there's going to be a time where you're alone and you're quiet. It'll usually be somewhere around 2, 3 in the morning. And Satan will say, hey, are you sure you said amen? He'll say something. He'll try to get you to thinking. And this is where people start playing mental basketball with themselves. They'll start thinking, wow, did I do this right? Did I do that right? What if I didn't do this? I should have done this other thing, or I shouldn't have. No, you need to start with your mouth. You need to start saying something. You need to start saying what God says. You're not going to beat a thought with a thought. You got to beat those thoughts with words. Remember, the Bible says, taking these thoughts captive into obedience to the name of Jesus. That means those thoughts that you start thinking, you got to take control of those with the name of Jesus. That means you got to say something. You got to say something. And then Jesus told us what to think on. You know, in Philippians, through Paul, he said, think on these things. Whatever things are lovely, pure, or true. So he didn't just tell us not to think about bad things. He told us what to think on. But we're going to take that bad thought captive and cast it down. And then start thinking on those good things. Let's see. Get busy and act on God's word now. Don't just wait for something to come. See, people have a habit of waiting for God to do something. He already did it. He's waiting for us to receive it. Well, a lot of times we don't understand is we have to take action to receive it. We better stop there. We're not going to get much farther on that. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word. We thank you for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you for the cross of Christ, where he paid for all of our sins. He took all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases. He took our poverty, and he set us free. And he brought us into him. He reconciled us to you, and now we can live in you. Our lives are hid in Christ. Now we can live the life of faith the way that you designed us to. And we ask Holy Spirit to teach us and encourage us and show us more how to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.